why data is important, ladies and gentlemen. 8:05 is the time. Right, let's have a look at right to buy. It seems it's back again. I have no idea what Boris Johnson was talking about the other day, or whether there was any real connection, real world connection between people being, on the one hand, on benefits and in that part of their life where they are taking support and getting onto the property ladder. There's not a mortgage company or a bank or building society known to man who is going to lend people money if they haven't got, let's say, at least 2 years worth of accounts which show that you can afford it. And when it is stress test, you can still afford it. So, in other words, if it goes up by a factor of three interest rates, if you were to lose your job or various other things happen to you, that's what underwriters are for. They look at all the possibilities and they go, you can or you cannot afford it. I know kids who are making sort of 30, 40, 50 grand can't get anywhere near owning a property, certainly not in London and the South East. And that's what I'm speaking about. Because if you want to go to Leeds and if you want to buy a house for £250,000, then fine. But you're not getting a studio anywhere near London or London Centre. You're not getting it for that £250,000. Even in relatively poor areas, you know, with high crime rates and all the rest, in London, it's going to cost you for a one-bed, 450, 500 grand. That's the end of it. If you want outside space, add 100. That's the way it is. You can work it out on a square foot basis if you wish, but that is the reality. So all this talk that Boris Johnson is going to offer, you know, many of England's housing association tenants the possibility of buying their homes, I mean, it's one of these things that sounds good, but I just don't know how it's going to work. Right. So let's see if we can sort of get edge. Well, no, let's speak. Let's hear Boris Johnson first. He's in Blackpool here.
We will finish the right to own reforms Margaret Thatcher began in the 1980s, ending the absurd position where first-time buyers spend their life savings on flats only to find themselves being charged hundreds of pounds for painting their own doors or even unable to own a dog. That's what being on your side is all about. When ownership remains beyond the reach of a great many hard-working people, it's neither right nor fair to put ever vaster sums of taxpayers' money straight into the pocket of landlords. It's time to put this huge wall of money, taxpayers' money, to better use. It's time to turn benefits to bricks. So we're going to look to change the rules on welfare so that the 1.5 million working people who are in receipt of housing benefits and want, I stress, working people, and who want to buy their first home will be given a new choice to spend their benefit on rent as now or put it towards a first ever mortgage. Doing so removes a significant barrier that currently prevents hundreds of thousands of families from buying their own home.
Right, so I've got two hands and I'm blessed with four fingers and a thumb on each, right? And that, I'd be surprised. I would be very surprised if anybody on benefits is suddenly going to be owning a home greater than the amount of fingers and thumbs that I've got in a year's time. So is this complete and utter nonsense? We all know full well that paying rent is more expensive on a monthly basis than getting, for instance, wouldn't it be great if we could get an interest-only mortgage for that 25-year-old, for that 30-year-old who's still living in a home and wants to get on with their life? But it's impossible. You can't get a hold of it. If you could get a mortgage the size of the rent you're paying, you'd be able to live in a blooming mansion half the time because rents are very, very high. But don't have a go at their landlords because guess what? If you make their life difficult, they get out of the market. You take the demand, you take the supply down, demand stays the same and prices go up. Blooming government have been told this. Freddie Poser not only has a brilliant name, he's also director of Priced Out, the campaign for affordable house prices. Freddie Poser, love it. Freddie, good morning.
Morning.
Help me out here. Benefits to bricks.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head there by talking about supply and demand, that the government, I think, has missed a big opportunity here. They need to build more houses.
There you go. Isn't that a miracle? I mean, we've had our road to Damascus moment. I mean, this is, it's utterly ridiculous. Planning is horrific. Stamp duty, absolutely, you know, horrific. People who build houses are not building houses at the moment. Why? Because it's too expensive and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, we know what the actual answer here is. And, you know, I think that these reforms announced by Boris Johnson, the Housing Association Right to Buy, and the changes to the rules around benefits, you know, they're not necessarily on the face of it a bad thing. They might make things better on the margins. They might help some people own a home. But for the vast majority of us, especially those in the private rented sector, those looking to rent or buy, prices need to come down, or at least just stop rising out of step with wages. And the only way to do that is to increase the supply of homes. And that's the supply of homes in the southeast, in the north, across the country. We need to build more homes.
Right. OK. Let's just bring in Phil Morgan into the conversation, social housing expert, former exec director at the Social Housing Regulator. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Right. So, listen, Freddie's just said that the increase in supply is absolutely essential. Do you agree with that central point?
Absolutely. If we really want money to go to people rather than landlords, we should be building more homes. We have increasingly large numbers of people in temporary accommodation, which costs incredibly large amounts of money. We have 4.2 million people in housing need and 1.1 million on housing waiting lists. You know, that's where money should be spent on new housing. What that would do is calm the market down, reduce prices in the long run, and allow people more affordability. That's where the answer is for this. It's not on gimmicks like the Right to Buy for Housing Association tenants.
Oh, is that what you consider what Boris Johnson was outlining, a gimmick? I mean, I can't trace the line between what he was saying and the practical reality of anything that I've seen in the property market.
Well, that's because it's trying to buck the market. It's just simply not going to work. It's costly, complicated, and not going to deliver one-for-one replacement. Right. You know, we're talking about £2.5 billion a year for this policy. Now, that's going to come from somewhere. That's going to either come from taxes, which you and I and Freddie pay and everybody else pays, or it's going to come from reduction in services. It's got to come from somewhere. And that money would be much better spent if we're going to spend it on building new homes for people.
Right. And why are new homes not being built in sufficient numbers in this country? Now, talk about an age-old question.
I'm speaking to you from a new home, and I've got some experience, personal experience of what it's like at the moment. There's three problems. One is that we've got problems with skilled labour in particular. That's causing delays. We've also got problems with materials, and that's causing both delays and additional expense. And the way in which you manage that is that, you know, it's very helpful that government continues to invest in the housing market. And the problem is that it's got something called the Affordable Housing Programme. And the size of the Affordable Housing Programme is about £2.5 billion. And that's money that's been spent to make sure that we are building homes that people can afford to rent by shared ownership, things of that kind. Now, it's about the same size as the £2.5 billion I mentioned earlier. And my fear is that this gimmick is going to be used, and that money, that £2.5 billion worth of money, is going to be taken from homes that would be built for affordable housing and instead spent on a right to buy scheme.
All right. Good to speak with you. Thank you ever so much indeed. Hope you enjoy that new home that you're in. Phil Morgan, social housing expert, former exec director at the Social Housing Regulator. A last word to you, Freddie. If I could ask, how old are you?
22.
Oh, OK, fine. So you're 22 years of age. Now, you've got a bunch of friends. I don't know whether you live in London and the South East or not. Maybe you do.
Yeah. Most of my friends are in London.
What are they saying?
Well, the rents are too high and the idea of saving for a mortgage is completely out of the question at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, how much of a down payment do you need to get it? I mean, where is that coming from? Have you had a look at this sort of policy that Boris Johnson was... Well, it's not a policy. It was just words, as far as I can tell. You know, where is the down payment coming from? Is it 5%, 10%? What's happening?
The fact is that if you're a young person who's not on, you know, one of those ridiculously good salaries, the place that this is going to come from is, if you're lucky enough, it's from your parents, or you're going to be renting. You know, that's what we see time and time again, that if you don't have if you're not in the lucky situation of having parental support and, you know, of various sorts, it's really difficult to get this mortgage. And the only way, as you know, as I think we've all agreed today, the only way to change that is to build more houses where people want to live.
Great to speak with you. Thank you very much indeed, Freddie Poser there, Director of Priced Out. It's a campaign for affordable house prices. He's only 22 and he's all over it. What's the reality for you or your children, or in fact, or your grandchildren as well?